And I just got out of surgery today with my hand. So, anyways, what I got in here and I was tore up from the floor up at 15 years old. I had my first drink and I loved it. You all know what I mean. It was like the magic potion. I couldn't get enough of it. So, I went about my life after that completely obsessed with I had to have it. You know, it was how much can I get? How soon can I get it? Where am I going to get it? How am I going to get the money to get it? And who can I hide it from? Everything changed, you know. They got those questions about, are you an alcoholic? You know, and there's really just two is like I was always thinking about it and I couldn't stop once I started. And I was, that was 1980, whatever it was, but I came to my first meeting in 1982. And because I had been in a blackout, woke up in jail in a blackout with stitches in my forehead, stitches in the back of my head, and a hangover that wouldn't quit. And I laid there for 3 or 4 hours in the middle of the night because I couldn't go back to sleep. 22 years old, and the booze had me so bad I didn't fall asleep and I didn't wake up. I passed out and I came to. And so nothing, I was, the stuff was all worn off and I'm laying there in fear and I got it and they wouldn't let me out for about 3 days. So that was the longest I'd been dry. For a while when I got out, I went to see a lawyer. This is how I got to AA. I want to be real quick about it. So I went to see the lawyer and he, $2,500, he'd take my case, my second DWI. And he said, what happened? I said, I don't know what happened. Somewhere in the middle of going there, I was going to go out after that and go party and drink. And I pushed the door back open as I was walking out. And this is why I feel the grace of God came in. And I said, you know, I think I might need to do something about my drinking. And he says, okay, get the number for the alcohol referral service. So I did. I went home and I called it. Now there's another miracle that there was a working dial-up phone in my house, but there was, and I called it, and it was busy. Now I was 22 years old, never thought about stopping drinking, anything like that. Never heard of AA. Never knew anybody was in AA. But somehow I reached around, there was a phone book and I opened it up and I looked in the phone book. Some of y'all maybe not know what that is, big thick book we used to have hanging around the counter to give one every year. And I looked in the white pages under AA and under alcohol, under A's, and I saw Alcoholics Anonymous. What made me do that? The higher power again, I think. I never thought about that until later on, after I was sober many years, how all those miracles happened one right after another. And I went in and I called the guy and I went down there and I listened to the speaker. And that's why we have speaker meetings to identify. And the first two guys, the first guy I didn't hear, but the second one, after I kind of calmed down, I heard him say that he woke up in strange places with strange people. He woke up. Where'd the car go? Where'd the money go? How'd I get here? You know, all those feelings, waking up in the bushes. And I identified. And then he went on and talked about losing body parts, losing families, losing members of his family, and people not wanting him, and divorces and all this. And I hadn't done that. I was a young man. And I said, well, maybe I can learn from this guy and not do the same things that he did. And at the end of the meeting, they gave out a white chip, and I went up and picked up one. And I said, this is what happened to me. And they told me, just go sit down and be quiet. We'll talk to you after the meeting, you know, because I was just going to talk another jackpot story that I got into. So after the meeting, a guy caught me and he said, so you think you're an alcoholic? I said, I know I'm an alcoholic. And he goes, well, how often do you drink? And I thought that was a crazy question because I drank every day. And he said, well, come on over here. And we started talking. So that's one thing that I've always done in my sobriety. If there's a new person, I always stick my hand out because someone did that to me, you know. And I went to a meeting the next day and the next day, but he explained to me one thing about alcoholism, and I always like to share it at a speaker meeting. There's a lot of new people here. Guys, please, how awesome are we that we're here, that you made it? I think it's great. I just was like amazed at how many new people. I like this meeting. I've been on it a couple of times before. And so I go, he said, alcoholism is progressive and it's terminal. He told me this in 1982, progressive and it's terminal. It's still progressive and it's terminal. And he goes, you probably don't know what that means, but that means, because they were big words for a guy like me, he says, progressive means it only gets worse. Terminal means it'll kill you if you don't do something about it. I said, well, so I went to a meeting the next day and the next day and the next day. So he told me to go to a meeting. So, but I was so tore up at that point, and I was doing other stuff too, but the booze was constant. And I told him, I'm going to go to a meeting every day. So I went every day, and I had a motive. I was going to tell the judge because I'd lost this DWI. So I really had a little reservation. I didn't know if I was ready to stop, but I went to a meeting every day, and I didn't drink in between. And what that gives you, that's the least today has to offer you. Also, what I did was, what I didn't do is I didn't work the steps. I didn't get a sponsor. I couldn't understand the writing on the walls. I didn't ask for help. And you know what I didn't get? I didn't get sober. After 80 days, I picked up a drink and I went back out on a 10-month run. And I was tore up. Now, if you've been to AA, which everyone in the rooms has been now because you're here, you know, your drinking will never be the same after you've been to AA. So a head full of AA and a belly full of beer will screw up your drinking. Well, I went out for 10 more months. I didn't get any more trouble with the law. I didn't get any more trouble falling off any buildings. I'm an iron worker. You didn't get cut up. But what happened was I got tore up inside. I was hurting inside. And I didn't feel, I hit my bottom, emotional bottom. Because we're tough people, aren't we? We go out and get all beat up and we go do it again. We have a hangover, we go do it again. Well, I am, I should be saying for myself. But a lot of alcoholics are tough. And they just keep getting beat up and they keep going out and doing it again. That's kind of the insanity of it. But I went out and drank again, and then I came back March 31st, 1984. And then what I did was I got a home group and they told me to go shake hands. I was 24 years old. I was shaking like a jitterbug, and they told me, go shake, you know, go shake hands. And so what that did was I got to meet the people. I got, you know, I got to had to get there a little early because I was the official greeter, and they did that right away. And in AA, you hear this saying, not too much is much, but you have to act your way into good thinking. You can't think your way into good actions. So I did that, and when I quit shaking after about a month, they told me, okay, now you can go make coffee. And I made coffee for a year, and again, what does do making coffee do? Well, you're there early, right? Because you had to be there an hour and 10 minutes early because it was a huge pot. And then after that, I got to meet the people slowly as they came in. So the people would come around me slowly, you know, a couple people at a time. I'd give them coffee, and that seemed to work. So I kept doing that, and then I was ecstatic. And I was, you guys just brought me back when people were saying 5 days and 7 days and 4 days. Because I remember at four, when I was sober for 1 week, I was ecstatic because I did not think I could be sober for a day, you know, and really like it and really want it. And it was like, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. So I kept coming. I went to meetings and I was going to meetings, not drinking. I really was kind of coming too. I came too. And then I came to believe. I kind of believed in something already. And the booze started wearing off, and the hold it hard on me, and I found out I could enjoy my life. I was also a workaholic, so I was working, going to work every day. That kept me. So you hear a lot about people staying busy, you know, busy hands, you know, stay out of the misery, you know, and you're not thinking, because when we start thinking, we get in trouble, you know, and the alcoholic's mind is always spinning. Alcoholics make great workers because they're restless, irritable, and discontent. Whether they're drinking or not, you know, but after you get sober long enough, you finally take the edge off. And that's what AA does. It takes the edge off. Every meeting is an assurance that you're gonna be okay, and you get a little bit better every day. So I kept doing that deal, and after about a year that I got a commitment to go to a treatment center and carry the message. And I had that commitment for 13 years. Once a month I went in and I shared my story. And you know what? It kept me sober. kept me sober. And I had some of the people in there. I saw kids I drank with, kids I partied with. I saw an ex-girlfriend in there, you know, and I would just keep carrying the message. I did that for 13 years, and I still carry the message whenever I can. If I get asked to speak, I'll speak. I'll volunteer to speak if someone doesn't show up. I'm just blessed. I can never give back what's been given to me, but it's 6 months, and I was working with a guy who I hadn't worked with before. Here's another one of the miracle coincidences, whatever you want to say, where I was working with this guy and we're unloading a truckload of iron. And he told the truck driver, "Hey, I wish this guy would pick up a drink. He hadn't had a drink in 6 months. He's an alcoholic." And I'm like, "What is he talking about?" He goes, "He's miserable." And I heard him. Well, he said it was one thing. The fact that I heard him, I was on the other side of the truck. The fact that I had to go to some state counseling that night, because I had to go once a week because I was an habitual offender, go in for an hour, and I shared that with the counselor. And the fact that I read in the book that day or that night that if you don't do these steps, you may not overcome drinking. And my life was getting pretty good. I was getting some twinkle in my eye, some snap to my walk, and some jingle in my pocket. Because let's admit it, when you stop drinking, you know, you get a little money in your pockets, feeling pretty good, right? You get some twinkle in your eye because you're not putting that all that stuff in you anymore. Your eyes are clearing up and you're feeling pretty good. You get some snap to your walk. You get a little more energetic. You're not drinking a depressant, which alcohol is. I learned that later on in sobriety. I'm talking pretty fast because I want to get it all in as best I can. I've never spoke this story before. I mean, I speak my story, whatever comes out. I'm a channel. That's how I look at it. Whatever's supposed to come out will come out. And when there's newcomers, I like to try to keep it green and fresh and talk about what's happened and what it was like. But I also want to talk about the recovery. So I did a probably the worst fourth and fifth step that was ever done. I always say that, right? And I've done more since then. You know, so don't beat yourself up. Just do it. That's what I strongly recommend. Do it and continue to do it and continue to work these steps and just work them. You don't do them once and do it and they're done. There's no done. There's no certificate of completion. You know, I go to a meeting every day still. I've already been to a meeting this morning. And I still have a home group. I still have a sponsor. I still help newcomers. I had breakfast with a new guy yesterday. He's coming back after a little relapse. I spent time with him. I went to a 50-year thing for a guy. He got his 50-year chip yesterday. 50 years. He got sober when he was 21 years old. So there's some hope for you. I like to spread hope. I used to be a dope dealer. Now I'm a hope dealer. I like to spread hope that this program works. Imagine a guy came in when he's 21 and he kept coming, he never went out. I came in when I was, but he did come in when he was 20 and he went out once. I'm sorry, I'm going to back up. He didn't never went out. He got a taste of AA, and he took him 6 months to really get that you don't drink in between meetings and your life will be better. I came in when I was 22, late 22. I came in when I right after I turned 24, right after my 24th birthday, and I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink. So if you're young, people, that's the part that's bad. If you youth, health, and wealth, if you still got some money in your pocket, if you're still feeling okay. You know, you meet some people who come in and they say, "Well, the doctor said if I drink again, I'm going to die." Well, they really didn't have a choice. But, you know, this guy's when we realize enough knowledge, and self-knowledge won't keep us sober. The book tells us that. But when we realize there is a way out, your drinking won't be the same. So what are you going to do with it? You know? And I got a call one time when I was sober about a little over a year, about a 12-step call. And that's where you go to hospitals. Or someone calls and says, "Hey, I got a family member." You know, there's different 12-step call. So I went to a hospital and his wife had called and got us to go there. And we went in there and he goes, "Who are you?" I go, we're from AA. We were in our 20s. And he goes, "Well, you don't look like no alcoholic to me. You look like you got your act together." And he had a cirrhosis of the liver, big, huge belly laying on there. And he says, "Get out of here." But first he said, "Who are you?" And we go, "A." He goes, "No, I don't want to talk to nobody. Get out of here. You're in the wrong room." And we left. But as we was leaving, his wife saw us leaving the room because she was coming down the hall with a coffee. She says, "Who are you guys?" And they go, "Well, we're from AA, but we don't know where we're supposed to be." She goes, "Oh, come back in." And we came back in, he rolled his eyes. See, he didn't want to talk to us. He didn't want to see it, right? So we talked to him a little bit and and gave our number and talked to him, and he didn't realize he had cirrhosis of the liver. He says, "I don't have no problems due to drinking." And I go, "Well, your stomach's popping out like a basketball." And then the year before, his wife said, "You had pancreatitis." The year before, something else. Well, after enough elbows from his wife, we left him some stuff. He said he'd go. We left literature and our phone number. Come pick him up and take him to a meeting when he got out. Well, we got a phone call 10 days later, and his wife said, "Thank, is this Lou?" I go, "Yes, it is." She says, "Well, I'm the lady you came down and talked to my husband." I said, "Oh, yeah, we'll come get him and take him to a meeting." She says, "No, I want to thank you for taking your time to come down and talk to him." But he didn't make it. He died. Now, he didn't want to come to an AA meeting. He was on his deathbed. He's on his deathbed, and he has the same disease I have. I don't know if any of y'all are even alcoholics, because I don't know. You can only say. I never claim profess anybody an alcoholic. You got the questions you can say, but if you've made it to an AA meeting, there might be a chance that you have the same addiction that I have. And he was on his deathbed, and he still didn't want to come. So my message is, if you've made it here today, if you've made it here today, you've been given a gift that some other alcoholic never will make it, because there'll be alcoholics that'll never make it to the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, ever. And they will die with this disease that I have. There's also alcoholics that will come into AA and they won't stay and they'll never come back. And then there's some that'll come in and out and they might have that thought, "Well, I can always come back to AA." That don't happen either, because I've met many that went out. I can tell you many stories about alcoholics that have died. I don't want to do that. I want to talk about good stuff. I want to talk about things that happened. My dad passed when I was a year and a half sober, and I went in a meeting one time. I went in a meeting. I was working in Fort Lauderdale. I'm in Tampa Bay, Florida, is where I'm at right now, and that's where I was born and raised. And I was working on the other coast doing some iron, and my guy called, my dad died, and I was a little over a year and a quarter sober, somewhere around there. And I was on my way to a meeting, and I went in and I cried like a baby in the bathroom. In AA, there's two good things: your good news and bad news. The bad news is you get your feelings back. The good news is you get your feelings back. I cried like a baby, and I ended up going out, and I looked up at the sky, and I knew it was okay because I had a higher power at that time. And so I went. And I went to the meeting and I shared, and the people came around and gathered around me and said, "Sorry, and if you, here's my number," and all this. And there was a guy who gave, I didn't have a driver's license for 5 years. And a guy was giving me a ride to a meeting every night because the company, the guys needed the company truck we were in. So he'd come pick me up every day that I was down there. He never missed a lick, and I went to a meeting every day. I got to give out a white chip to a guy down there who thought he couldn't get sober, and he's worried about something. I says, "Don't worry about that. You're going to be all right." And I said some other things, and I talked to him, welcome, and I'd see him at every meeting. I shake his hand. Well, he was in that meeting when I walked in and talked about my dad. I finished that job. I came home. He called me about a year later, and he said, "You know what? You helped me so much. I just wanted to let you know I got my year in." I said, "Well, that's great." And that was it. And I didn't think anything, and then I went down there three and a half years later, because someone ran into the building and I had to fix it. And the company sent me down. I was going to be there for one day. I was there one day. I went to a meeting, and the guy, and I walked in and got a coffee. And I don't remember what meetings I went to. It was like I was still coming to at that point, probably. It took me a long time to come to. So there's hope for everybody, right? And he said that, "Lou," he said, I walk in and I see him on the other corner, and he sees me, and we walk and we met each other in the middle of the room. He goes, "I don't know if you remember me." And I go, "Yeah, I do. Your name's Richard." He goes, "Yeah, and you're Lou, right?" He goes, "You gave me my white chip." I go, "Yeah, I did." And he goes, "You helped me last 3 months ago." And I go, "3 months ago? I haven't been here in 3 years." He said, "No." He says, "My dad died." And he said, and I went to the bar, and I had four Jack Daniels lined up on the bar, and I was going to drink. And he said that he had a thought about this guy named Lou, who came in when he had less than a year and a half, the guy who gave me my chip. And he'd said about his dad dying. He went to a meeting, and he said he had that thought. and he slid the four things away, and he got up and he went to an AA meeting. So you never know when you're going to touch someone's life by sharing experience, strength, and hope, you know, and that's what we do. And it don't matter if you've got a couple of days. The people who shared their day count helped me today. The guy I had breakfast with who had a week of sobriety helped me stay sober. That's the reason. It's a program of wash, rinse, repeat. We need to hear it over and over because we have alcoholism. Alcoholism centers in the mind, and it tells us we don't have a disease. We got a compound poo-poo maker on one side of our brain. The other side's buying it. We're manufacturing poo-poo with this side. The other side's buying it. If you stop buying it, you won't manufacture it. If you don't put the drink in you, you don't start that compulsion. There's so much in there. I heard a lady with 50-something years still sharing her story, and she'd forget where she was at, and you had to remind her. And I think, I don't know if she was tricking so we would listen longer, but at the end of sharing her story for about 50 minutes, she had us in stitches, but she said, when all else fails, she goes, really, if you really want to get sober, she said, get the big book and read it. That's what she said. And I was like, okay. There's a saying, there's six words, really, people. It's real simple. Trust God, clean house, and help others. And instead of being a dope dealer, I'm a hope dealer. And I'll give you a couple quick acronyms. I could go on forever. I love AA, but I'm not going to do that because I'm just a guest here on your meeting. And I know it's newcomers and stuff, but here's a real good one for you newcomers. Real simple acronyms for the word hope. In the beginning, it's the house of pain every day when we were out there. H-O-P-E, house of pain every day. And then it's like, we come to AA, hang on, pain ends. And you keep going and you hear other people's experience. Hearing
2 minutes,
other people's
brother.
Experience. Gotcha. I'm going to wrap it up here. And now today, hope for me is help other people every day. I hope I helped you guys hear something that made you want to come back. I'm happily married. I got kids. I got to walk my daughter down the aisle and cry like a baby in front of 150 people. My kids have never seen me drunk or stoned. I love life. I just got out of surgery with my hand, and I had carpal tunnel a month ago on that one. I got carpal tunnel on this one today. I haven't had a drink or a drug. I didn't take any medication for this. I'm super stoked. I hope you guys get stoked. Come back and get some. Walk all the way in and sit all the way down, because I never got halfway to the bar and I never sat halfway down. And I never got halfway drunk. So now today I want to stay sober. I walk all the way in, I sat all the way down, and I stick and stay. I hope I said something that gave you some hope and make you want to get stoked for your sobriety. Come back and get some more. Love y'all. Have a blessed day.